Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll read verses 18 and 19 responsively this morning. I'll read verse 18, and you'll join me on verse number 19. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have sung a lot about you this morning. Lord, we've talked about you in Sunday school. Lord, we've talked to you as individuals this morning. Lord, we've read your word. Lord, we're just excited, Lord, what you've done in our lives, and Lord, what you mean to us as individuals, Lord, your testimony of power, Lord, and what you've done for many individuals in this church. But Lord, this morning, in a special way, we need you. Lord, we need something unique from you this morning. Lord, as we hear the word being taught, Lord, may it not just be another Sunday, but Lord, may we take the truth that has been prepared for us and apply it to our hearts. Lord, we ask in a special way that you'd be with our pastor, that you fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. May we be yielded as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Keep your Bible open. We're going to use it today. Ephesians chapter 1, let me read verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Look at me. I have lived more life than my age. I am 53 years old, but God, for some reason, has allowed me to work with an unbelievable amount of people, be involved in many, 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 many experiences, and that means this: I've learned more about life than most people my age. I don't claim to be exceptionally smart. I'm not. I don't claim to be something that I'm not. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But I just have a little bit more experience than most people. One thing that I've come to realize, and listen to this statement, one thing that I have come to realize is this: the whys of life don't matter as much as the what and the how. The why of life does not matter as much as the what and the how. You see, the why does not matter. It's not going to change the outcome. Why is not going to change the situation. Why doesn't matter as much as we want it to matter. You see, I do know what the what of life is. I do know the path out and the how of life. And even if I did know the why, it's not going to change the situation at all. 999 times out of 1,000, I'll guarantee you, the why does not matter. It's not going to change it. Now, listen to me very carefully. I have discovered that our seeking the whys to everything in life often is a result of our sin and us wanting to play God in life. Everybody look at me for a second. When man sinned, man became his own God. By the way, that's what we see in politics today. Right. We have the total summation of humanism. If it feels right, do it. That's why you've got your LBTGQ alphabet soup crowd. They don't know what bathroom to use. Folks, I learned 50 some years ago what bathroom to use. Plumbing is everything. Amen? Yeah. If it's hanging on the wall, it's a boys' room. If it's not, you better check. All right? It's just one of those things that you learned in life. You know, you put a bunch of bulls in a pen, they don't wonder what they are. There's not a bull in the world that gets excited about another bull unless it's to knock him out so that he's the big dog. When we decide that we have to find out why something happened so that we have the understanding, it's because we want to play God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We think that we are the center of life. We sinful humans somehow think that we have superiority if we understand why. But I've realized knowing why doesn't change anything. Brother Steve, I don't know why you had cancer. I don't know why you had to go through the surgery you had to go through. But I do know what, and I know how we got through it. Knowing why wouldn't change it. Knowing why wouldn't fix one thing right now. So why do we spend so much time, so much energy, and so much frustration trying to figure out why? Now listen to me very carefully. Man somehow thinks that, as I see it, means we have superiority over someone else. We somehow think we're more important because we can tell somebody why they have the problem they have. That's what your psychologists and psychiatrists try to do. Well, because your mama burped you on the left shoulder instead of the right shoulder, you act the way you do now. Come on, folks. Well, because your daddy didn't take you to enough ball games, your psyche is warped. Well, my daddy warped my psyche a few times, but he never called it a psyche. He called it something else. And it wasn't in my head. It was a little bit lower, about 18 inches lower. And he warped it many a time. And by the way, I'm okay. That was for you. Now, God tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18, I love this, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Oh, God says that he will enlighten our understanding. Now, notice something. God is the one to enlighten you, not you. Not your discovery, but God will enlighten you. I want you to notice, God doesn't say, tell us that he can tell us why. God doesn't say that he knows why, but he tells us that he will enlighten our understanding. The word enlighten there means to brighten, to shine a light upon, or to make you see. Everybody look at me. This is not a secret. This is nothing new to some of you. I'm colorblind. Let me rephrase that. I'm bad colorblind. Now, I see color, but I'll guarantee I don't see it like somebody else does. Somebody came to my office and needed a Bible this morning for a young man, and I pulled one out, and I said to somebody, is that purple or is that blue? They said, it's blue. I said, good, you can have it. They said, because if it's purple, a boy probably doesn't want it. My problem is I couldn't tell the difference between blue and purple. They said, really? Yeah, really. Now, I enjoy hunting. I've gotten to spend a couple hours in a tree stand with my bow recently just to clear my head. And here's the problem, though. My son will tell you, I can't see a blood trail if it was dripping down my arm. I cannot see blood on the ground. My boys laugh at me. We'd go out hunting, and I've killed a lot of critters in my time. I've killed several hundred deer, and I can't see the blood trail. I can hit that thing and see the blood squirt and never find where the blood was. My son will say, it's right there. I said, where? He said, you're stepping in it. Back up, Dad. And I still can't see it. He'll take my finger and put it in the blood. Oh, it's on my finger. Now I know where it's at. But I can't see it on the ground. You say, how in the world did you recover all those deer? I've learned how to do it without blood. But a couple of years ago, my wife and one of my boys invested in a little light that I wear on my head, and it turns blood like black glossy paint on the ground. Somehow, this light works and reacts with blood, and it illuminates. Now, it doesn't turn red. I don't care what color it is if I can see it. Last year, I had shot a deer, and I, of course, when I shoot, when I watch where they are, where they cross certain points, and I went to the last point, I saw it, and I could see on the fence where it had jumped over a fence. I could see that there was blood on the fence because it was a drop hanging there and some hair. I said, well, this is where it went in. I crossed the fence. I looked around for 20 minutes. Couldn't see a cotton-picking thing, Brother Mike. I said, I know that deer didn't go very far. Wait a minute. I have a light. I went back to that fence, put that light down on the ground, and all of a sudden I saw glossy black stuff. I said, well, Shazam. And I started walking. And I walked about from here to where Miss Chris is, and there was a little trail that had gone this way around, out this way. And I had followed that trail around, but that blood went up this way. I thought, it's only a couple yards difference, but I followed that blood trail, and I walked from about where she was to about where Brother Harry is, and there laid that stupid deer. I had walked right past that thing because I couldn't see the blood. But I had a light that enlightened my way. It wasn't perceived by my natural eye, but God had given me the ability to enlighten the trail that was hidden to me before. The light didn't tell me why the blood was there. It just enlightened what was there. What I could not see naturally, it enlightened the trail so I knew which way to go. Make sense to everybody? God says that he will enlighten your understanding. You may not be able to perceive it, you may not be able to see it, but eventually he'll shine the light on it and your understanding will come about. That's what God's talking about here. God says he will enlighten our understanding. He did not say he will show you why. He said he'll enlighten your understanding. See, you think understanding means knowing why. And that's not what the word understanding means. It means to stand under or to hold you under and stabilize you. God says that he will enlighten you so that you're stable enough to get through the situation that you're in. He'll enlighten the path to help you get to where you need to go. Number one, I must hurry. He will enlighten your hope. Look at verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The first thing God will do when you're in a situation when you can't see is he's going to give you hope. Can I tell you something? Too many people wander around this world without hope. They're relying on a liquor bottle to give them hope. They're relying on a syringe or the next drug to give them hope. There is no hope in that. Matter of fact, in the book of Jeremiah, I believe, or Ezekiel, it says, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We live in a world that has very little hope. Oh, we're going to run out of clean drinking water. We're going to run out of clean air. Oh, all the plastic and all the stuff that is going in the landfill is going to destroy the world. Folks, where do you think we got the materials to begin with? Right out of the same ground. Oh, we're gonna be in trouble because we're burning too much carbon. and our carbon emissions and our fossil fuels. By the way, oil is not a fossil fuel. The decomposing bodies of plants and animals does not turn to oil. It turns to dirt. And pray tell me, how did all those animals and plants get that deep? Everybody doing all right? Well, it took millions and millions and millions and millions of years. Evolution can't even follow science because science has to be repeatable. It has to be able to be plotted and repeated and be able to be observed. We can't observe millions and millions of years. It's all speculation. Let me show you what the press does. Let me show you what the media does. They were trying to crucify Vice President Pence this week because in his annihilation of Kamala Harris, in the thing with Kamala on Wednesday, they said, well, what about global warming and all the hurricanes? His answer, there are no more hurricanes now than there were 100 years ago. So this week they did a fact check. We have to fact check because he's wrong. He cannot be right. So on Friday they said, leading scientist. Well, what the president said was partially right. There are about the same number of hurricanes annually as there were 100 years ago. But because of global warming, they're stronger. That's what their answer was. 100 years ago, what scientist was back there and we didn't have a Category 2, Category 3, Category 4 storm? We didn't have them ranked by category. 100 years ago, more people had enough sense not to build their house in a floodplain next to the ocean. People had enough sense to know when you got a lot of rain, the rivers are going to fill up. And if you live near the ocean, them puppies are got a potential to blow through here. Better back up so my house doesn't get blown over. People had more sense back then. You see, when you are in a situation that you need understanding, it is a time of confusion and distress. When you have lost hope, you're in a situation where you're confused, you're distressed, and you need hope more than you need understanding why. God will enlighten your understanding to see the hope needed to get through the distress or the confusion. I don't have time to turn to all of these. I have several, but turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 28. I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. For time's sake, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 28, the Bible says this. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Sound like our day today? Oh, we're all going to die. No kidding, dummy. We're all sinners. But we have the hope of eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Can I tell you something? Even when someone passes away, if they're saved, we have the hope that we'll see them again someday. I stood at the graveside last Friday of a lady that was as close as a sister to me. There was about 60 or 70 people at the graveside. I mean, it was packed. I stood at the head of the casket. As I've said before, Brother Bob, you've been with me on several of these. I stood there and said, folks, this is just Sarah's body. She's not here. She's already in heaven. I said, Dr. Curtis Hudson said it best. This is just a piece of resurrection ground. I said, it's not a grave, it's resurrection ground, because Jesus is coming back one day. That old ground's going to kick out, that casket's going to kick open, and her body is going to meet, be put back together supernaturally and meet us in the air where she's in heaven, and she'll have her glorified body. I said, this is just a rented piece of ground here called a grave, but it's actually resurrection ground. Man, we just about had a shout time revival out there. Say why? That's our hope. We have the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. Just like in the Old Testament, they hoped for the Messiah to come. He did come. He came as their Savior, as their Lamb and their High Priest. He did not come back as King. The Jews did not accept that. They wanted him to be king. He said, can't do that yet. He said, I'm already the King of Kings, but I have to be your Savior and I have to be your High Priest before I can come back as your King.
That's good.
So we have the hope even in death. Can I tell you something? Death isn't so bad. Well, we miss them, but it's better for them. It's definitely better for them. We could turn to Jeremiah 17:7. We could go to Lamentations 3:21. I won't take time to turn there. But the Bible talks about us having hope in him. Listen to this statement. Your faith may be weak. Your love may be overwhelmed, but he can enlighten your hope. Your faith may be weak. Your love may be overwhelmed. You may be distressed, you may be confused, but God can enlighten your hope. Amen. Hope is the key to faith. Hope is the key to faith. Turn your Bible, Hebrews chapter 12. Ooh, I'm about to shout. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Now watch this. Chapter 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11. That was close. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Oh. Faith is the substance of hope. You have to have hope to have faith. Hope is the key that unlocks faith. Or, may I say this, God enlightens hope until faith kicks in. God will enlighten your hope when you don't have the faith to go on and say, I've got enough hope that maybe someday it'll work out and I'll keep going by faith. So, hope is necessary for faith. God never said he can. God never said he will tell us why, but God does tell us that he will enlighten your hope until faith kicks in. Brother Mike, you pull the trigger or pull the quick release on the deer, you got hope that you hit it right. But if I can't see it laying in the field, Brother Jimbo, I got the hope of my light. I have the hope that he's going to enlighten the trail. And I'm just going to follow it spot by spot until I get to the end. Let me listen to this statement. Hope is the blood trail that leads to faith. Hope is the blood trail that leads to faith, Brother Larry. I got faith that I hit it right, but I got to have hope that I know how to get there. Got to have hope that I can find the trail. I can't always explain why, folks. But I can tell you one thing, we have hope. We have hope. Every week of my life, I get word of people dying. Every week. In the last 2 weeks, I have gotten 5 phone calls of people I know. I can't tell people why. But I can tell you one thing. We're sending them on ahead. I know where they are. And it's okay. So number one, he will enlighten your understanding with hope. Number two, God tells us that sin blinds. Sin blinds our ability to see. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to show you something here. I need your mind for a moment. For some of you, you'll have to give me everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, we know this as the chapter about love, correct? Charity. But look towards the end of the chapter, verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. In other words, I don't understand. I don't see it all. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Notice, one of the three greatest things to have in life is hope. The other is faith, and the other is love or charity. Now watch this. Now we see through a glass darkly. Now, we're colorblind and can't see the blood trail. But we have the hope he'll enlighten it. Sin has caused it. Say why? Because I'm a sinner, just like you are. Sin causes us not to see life as God wants us to see it. Because we're all sinners. And just because you get saved doesn't mean you stop sinning. As I said Wednesday night, there's a difference in being saved and salvation. The word salvation means salvage or recycle. We have too many people judging somebody being saved by judging their salvation. You're judging how they've been recycled, not whether or not they got saved. None of your business. Quit playing God. It can be saved from the landfill, but not recycled. Guess what? People are still going to be going to heaven, whether they've been salvaged or not. So, our immaturity, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, I spake as a child. What does a child constantly ask? Why? Why? Why can't I put my wet sock in the light socket? Well, go ahead and you're going to have curly hair for the rest of your life. Why can't I do this? Why can't I sniff the iron? Well, you can, but get too close and your nose is going to go tss. Why can't I touch the stove when it's hot? Well, go ahead, but it's going to go psst, and you're not going to want to do it again. Why? 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 Let's quit being immature in our Christianity and quit asking God why and have the understanding to go forward with hope. You see, God shines the light on it so that we can see what is already there. Our eyes just don't perceive what is there. Well, I don't think it's fair, preacher. Didn't ask you whether you thought it was fair. Who made you God? Brother Steve, can't tell you why. But know this, God shined a light on it. Look what he's done in your life. What he's done in your family. Man, we sure do have a lot of hope, don't we? It doesn't change why it happened. But even if we knew why, you're not going to get all those parts back. They don't have a used part sale down at the body store. You know, you don't go buy another liver. You don't go buy another gizzard. You don't get another heart generally. Well, you can get one online. I don't want one of those. Amazon's got it. Prime Plus or whatever. Better have overnight delivery, amen? So God enlightens our hope. You have to understand that sin blinds us. Number three, God will also enlighten his glory to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Can I tell you something? During distress, during confusion, during heartache, during fear, during all the things that take place in our life, we need to take time and see how good God is. During a scamdemic, I mean a pandemic, or a plandemic, whatever you want to call it, we need to see how good God is. Can I tell you something? God did not die. The sun still came up. Well, I didn't see it. It's brighter out there than it was at midnight. Sun came up. Isaiah chapter 35. Let me read you a couple verses here. And some of you might get there quick enough, but I doubt it. Isaiah 35. Let me get there. I think I'm going to get there eventually. Isaiah 35, verse number 1. The Bible says this. Two more pages. One. There it is. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord in the excellency of our God. Have you ever been in the desert? It's not one of the prettiest places in all the world. But God talks about the glory of the Lord being there. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 35, the Bible says, it's not 40 or 30, 40 verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Guess what? If God said it, that settles it. There used to be back in the 70s a statement, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Wrong statement. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter if you or I believe it or not. I don't have to believe it. If God said it, it will happen. Well, I just don't believe. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. God said it, that settles it. Let's not get sucked up into the idea that God created all the distress and the confusion and the problems we face. God did not create the problem you have. Well, God's all-knowing. Do you know what the word all-knowing means? It means knowing all facts. It means knowing all truth. It doesn't mean foreseeing all situations. It is Catholic to think that God's in control of everything, that he winds everything up and it's happening exactly the way God wants it to happen. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe God wanted Steve to have cancer. But Steve's a sinner like you and me. We're all sinners. And truth be known, every person in this room has cancer cells in their body right now. Just most of them aren't active. Everybody has them. Everybody doing all right? I don't know why Sarah Dorsey died. But I do know she's a sinner. For all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. I don't know why she only lived 52 years. I could take you to a family in Illinois who had a baby that was about 4 or 5 months old and died of crib death. They had another child. That child was about 15, 16 months old Just a couple years later, Mama put the baby down for a nap and went out to help her mother with a garage sale. She went back to check on the baby, and the baby had rolled over and got between the mattress and the dresser and hung itself. They flew that child to the University of Chicago Hospital. My wife and I went. She sat in a little rocking chair, holding a little old blue dead baby, rocking her baby. She said, "Brother Bush, God must love my babies because he's got two of them." And the nurse came and said, "It's time. We need to take the baby." I had to reach into that mama's arms and pull that baby out of her arms and put it in the arms of a nurse to take to the morgue. But John, I don't understand it. But even if I did, that child's still in heaven. Doesn't matter why. I don't question God. God will enlighten my understanding of the hope of heaven and to see his glory no matter what. I believe there's a heaven. I believe God's good. I believe God's good even when somebody passes away. I believe God's good when everything's going fine. I believe God's good when politicians make a right decision. It doesn't happen very often. I believe God's good even when things are the way they are right now. God's goodness didn't change. Knowing why doesn't change God's goodness. How about we look at how good God is, how sweet his presence is, how wonderful his glory is, and let's not worry about the situation. How Brother Nathan preached this morning, he got a glimpse of God's goodness and got up and said, "My heart's broke, but I'm going to preach about God, not about my wife." God didn't sin. God's not bad to you. Well, how could it happen to good people? Quit playing God. All of us are sinners. Hey, who are we to compare dirt? Did you know there's no such thing as clean dirt, dirty dirt? Dirt is still dirt. Oh, I know there's different kinds of dirt, and you've got different materials, and you've got compost, and you've got this, and you've got that. But when it comes down to it, dirt is dirt. So who are we to say our dirt's cleaner than somebody else's dirt? We're all sinners in deserving of hell. Jesus came and paid that sin debt for us. We ought to rejoice in the fact that God did not die and we still have sweet fellowship with him. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. Number four. Let me review. He will enlighten your hope. Sin blinds us. He will enlighten his glory to us. Number four, God will enlighten the exceeding greatness of his power. Not your power, his power. Look at verse number 19, Ephesians chapter 1. And what, not why, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Can I tell you something? God's still good to you. Yes, Brother Steve, I'm sorry you had cancer, but God's still good to you. I could go down the row. I'd have to reveal too many things. Miss Wally, God's still good to you, even though you got to stay at my house. Is everything perfect? No, she's got to live with me for a while. God knows you ought to pray for her. But I'll tell you one thing. We're seeing his mighty power. We're seeing God work in mysterious ways. You see, the word exceeding I love this word, Brother Mike. It means goes beyond what is needed. Brother Steve, God's power goes beyond what you need. How do you know that, preacher? Because he got what he needed. And I drove to Georgia last week to help a family in a church that needed what they needed. And God's goodness and power was still there. I can't explain it, Brother John. But God's power's exceeding good. You got baby number 7. And mama number 1. And was able to keep both of them. By the way, the next day the same thing happened and they lost the baby. God's exceeding what we need. His power is more than what we need. I don't care how big your problem is, it's not as big as God is. I don't care how distressed and freaked out and weirded out the world is, our God is strong enough to take care of it. Greatness. That means the highest of quality. Not only is it more than we need, but it is the greatest, most pure quality that could ever be. Can I tell you something? God's good. God is good. I sat on the platform last Friday morning wondering how in the world could I help that family? How in the world could I help a church? My heart was broke. And yet we got up and we talked about the Word of God and how good God is. And He gave us a truth that we needed to get through the day. And we got up the next day and said, we need another truth. It was the highest quality. I told Brother Nathan, don't look too far down the road. Let's just get through today. Let's get through today. I talked to him early this morning and I said, Doc, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to get through today. I said, that's how you do it. God will enlighten you to see His power, not your power. And that it goes beyond what is needed and it is the purest and the highest quality to get you through, no matter how bad it gets. You'll quit looking at the distress and the confusion if you start seeing the excellency and the greatness of His power. I don't like problems. I don't like heartache. I'll be honest with you. I get tired of catching tears sometimes, my own. Not because I'm tired of people's problems, but I just hate seeing people hurt. I hate hearing the stories of how some of our young people that come in on the bus have heartaches beyond what you could imagine. But can I tell you something? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory and inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in and you have the excellency of the power of God inside you if you just give in to it. Oh, He won't force His way. He's not going to grab you by the back of the neck and force your head down. But you have the power of God available to you. He said, preacher, how do you get through some of those tough situations? Holy Spirit, use me. Oh, God, would you work through me? I don't know what to say. Nothing I say can help them, but you could work through me, please. And somehow He does. Don't you think a week ago Friday I didn't want to get up? How'd you like to face doing that funeral? But I happen to know we have hope. I happen to know that we're sinners and we can't see everything. I happen to know that God's glory is good to us. I happen to know that God's exceeding greatness of power will help carry us through.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God does not enlighten us to show us the whys of life. He will enlighten our hope. He will enlighten His glory. He will enlighten the greatness of His power. You will be less disillusioned if you quit worrying about the whys. You'll be less distressed if you quit wondering why. You'll be less likely to get bitter and angry if you quit worrying about the why. And we need to realize that God said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say all things are good. He didn't say things will always be good for you. But He did say, because of enlightening all those things, it will eventually work together for good to take place. I can't tell you why. And even if I could, it won't change it. Brother John, I can't tell you why your wife's sick. But it's not going to change it. She's still sick. But I can tell you one thing, God's good. And we have the hope of His glory and the greatness and exceedingness of His power. Whew. How about we quit asking God why? How about we just have hope and ask Him to light the trail? For that which we cannot see. Oh, by the way, there's a blood trail. And it ran from Calvary's tree. And you don't have to be blind to it. Because He has enlightened it for you and for me. All you have to do is trust what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. Not your good works. Not your church membership. Not a baptism. Not anything you've done, but everything He did for you. All you have to do is trust that. And God will take you to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, and all of our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today?